evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together we are
the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
This program airs every Tuesday night at midnight right here. The phone number is 749-1444 if you want to call in. Tonight's topic, science. And I can't think of a better guest to discuss the topic of science than Bill Nye, the Science Guy.
Welcome to the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, Bill Nye, the Science Guy.
Oh, it's so good to be here.
Now, Mr. Nye, are you really a science guy? Are you like a real scientist, or are you just an actor who plays one?
Well, I'm a mechanical engineer. I have a license, a professional engineering license, so it's applied physics.
So how did you turn a professional engineer's license into the most celebrated childhood idol since Barney?
Well, I don't know if I have turned it into the most celebrated childhood idol since Barney, but I started out doing stand-up comedy after I won the Steve Martin lookalike contest.
Your hair's not white enough.
Well, I didn't win the big one. I didn't win the national one.
Yeah, you won the Seattle one.
Yeah.
Okay. You're from Seattle, Washington.
No, I'm not from here.
Where are you from originally?
Back east, Washington, D.C.
So from one Washington to another. You live in Seattle now. That's where you're calling us from, right?
I've lived here about 20 years.
Why does it always rain in Seattle?
Because it's near the counterclockwise, if you will. It's about 2 o'clock on the great low-pressure system of life. So routinely, storms come in from the Pacific Ocean on what we like to call the Pineapple Express from Hawaii. And it rains, ha ha, all the time.
Now,
it rains in the winter, anyway.
I got another Seattle question for you.
Yeah.
What do you think of grunge music?
I love it.
Dude, what's your favorite grunge band from Seattle?
Well, you know, we're never supposed to say our favorite, but I sure like those Presidents of the United States of America.
You like that band?
I like that
band. You like Nirvana?
I like Nirvana, but you know, they're not in business right now.
What about Jimi Hendrix? He's from Seattle, you know.
He is from Seattle. Been to his grave, seen the... Well, I'm not sure they were cigarettes, but left on his grave, yeah.
Now, here's a topic you probably can't tell the kids about on your TV show. Why does pot make you high?
Well, it inhibits your serotonin, your brain juice. Keeps the flow. It's like dopamine. It keeps it from going, keeps synapses from firing, which can give you a sense of well-being. Now, let me just warn you, and it's fine. If you guys want to smoke dope, none of my business. But it's very bad for you, and the thing, the charming thing about it, apparently, is it messes up your chromosomes. Like when you have kids, they are, they're not 100%, which is not good.
Have you ever done it?
Even if you're a boy, you see, smoking marijuana, it will mess up your chromosomes so that when they combine with a girl, you'll end a woman, you'll end up with an imperfect thing there.
Speaking of
that.
Speaking of copulation and that
effect,
sort of thing,
is no myth.
Have you ever thought about, since you're so good with the kids, doing a show on sex education that maybe their parents could rent at the video store?
Well, we're gonna do, instead of doing a show about sex, we're doing a show about flowers.
Yeah, right.
Which is,
and the flowers are pollinated.
It really is not. It's not even a little bit different, and it's gonna be about flowers. Flowers have ovaries. And they have pollen, which is almost, well, it is very analogous to sperm, very much like sperm.
But I don't think flowers have slit skirts, do they?
Well, oh, flowers go to some unbelievable trouble to get some pollen.
like
oh,
what?
Man.
Like, do they go to the singles bars and hang out and stuff,
well,
or what?
I'm serious. With all due, they spend way more energy than we do. I mean, making a flower, if you're a plant, making a flower is a huge job. Huge amount of sunlight, huge amount of water, huge amount of sugar you have to crank out from carbon dioxide. You have to create all those petals, which are not, those petals are not photosynthesizing, are they?
So
no,
you're saying it's a bigger deal than my girlfriend putting on her face before she goes out on the weekend?
Well, interesting thing. A study has shown that women who are ovulating will, this is one study, and I'm not an expert on this, and I did not do the study. Women who are ovulating wear more makeup than when they're not ovulating. Interesting thing.
Consider
crazy
this.
Small, we?
Wow.
Yeah. So you can, you know, live in denial. Make jokes about it, my friend, but it drives us all.
How long does it take you to make a single half-hour episode?
Depending how you count, about 6 weeks.
Wow, just to make one half-hour show?
Yeah, but so we do more than one at a time. We do a lot in parallel.
You know, so when you go out by the
five
river...
Five or six at a time, sometimes seven at a time. And it takes about 3 weeks of shooting, maybe 11 days of shooting. And then No, 11 half days.
I'll tell you what I like about your show, and you can tell me who came up with this idea. But what I like about your show is you got the science guy, kind of like Dr. Julius Sunder Miller or somebody, talking about some heavy-duty science stuff to educate the kids. But on the other hand, you also have this sort of way of MTV looking and putting it all together, and it moves really quick, and it keeps the kids' interest. Now, whose idea was that?
Sort of three of us.
Who's the other two?
Aaron Gottlieb is a woman named Aaron, and me, and I. We're the creators, if you buffs who like to watch the show.
Where'd you find them guys?
They're people, Seattleites, that I've done business with for many years. Our first work was Fabulous Wetlands, a seminal video piece. Then we did What Are You Doing? And then we did this thing for the Forest Protection Agency. Washington State is knee-deep in these groovy ecological...
And when problems. Did you start with the bow tie and all the pratfalls?
Well, you know, I wore bow ties in high school.
Are you wearing one right now?
No.
Damn.
That's one of the charms of the radio. It's most visual medium.
Mm-hmm. Let's pretend like you are. Hey, that's a nice bow tie you're wearing there, Bill Nye.
I have one on this morning. Say again?
I said, that's a nice bow tie you're wearing there, Bill Nye, the science guy.
Why, thank you, Rob or Chris.
I'm Chris. And that's Rob over there laughing.
Yes.
So how long have you been doing the show?
Well, we are starting our fourth season.
It's taken off like gangbusters, hasn't it?
You think so, really? Like a show, you know, like a real show on a real network. You know, like Animaniacs, if you know this show.
Yeah.
Or even Earthworm Jim. They have, you know, real ratings, whereas our show doesn't do so well.
But you're on PBS, right?
The teachers love the show. What?
You're on PBS.
Yeah, we're on PBS, which sort of doesn't keep ratings.
Okay, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
This one might stump you, but I think you're Bill Nye the Science Guy, you'll probably get it.
Hit the ball to me.
Okay, who would suffer a more horrible bone-shattering high-energy impact death? Either A, a person dropped from 10 miles above the Earth, or B, a person dropped from 10 miles above the Moon?
Well, there's a couple problems with being dropped from either place, but the Earth one would have a lot more trouble. But, I mean, either way, I think 10 miles is more than enough to... I don't know if you ever saw the Ranger spacecraft. I don't know if you were alive in those days, but...
No, I didn't see it.
Crashed these things right into the Moon. Very dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
Head first, camera first, right into the Moon.
Well, with the Moon, there's no air resistance, therefore no terminal velocity.
No terminal velocity, roger
by,
that.
By the time you reach the surface of the Moon, you're going over 100 miles a second.
It could very well be.
Meters. 100 meters.
100 meters. Worse on the Moon?
Yeah, so what I'm trying to tell you is it might be worse on the Moon, because you don't have any air resistance. There's no atmosphere to...
No atmosphere to slow you down. You reach terminal velocity, depending on your configuration here on Earth.
You're talking like an air traffic controller now, Bill Nye.
At 120 miles an hour U.S. or 150 nose down. But, you know, if you're coming from very high and you're streamlined in some way, I don't know.
What is terminal velocity?
I mean, what is the idea of it?
Yeah, what is it?
So the idea is that when you're moving through a fluid, air is a fluid, anything that flows is a fluid, there's something slowing you down, like when you drop that pearl into the shampoo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's something slowing you down. Well, even though the pearl is falling into the shampoo and it's falling pretty slowly, it's still falling. So it reaches a point where the pull of gravity, the force of the pull of gravity, is balanced by the force of aerodynamic or shampoo-o-dynamic drag.
Mm.
And that's a steady speed. Now notice, when your forces are in equilibrium and your speed is a constant, your altitude is not a constant.
No, no, of course
your altitude gets smaller and smaller. Yes, one must be wary of that.
Now, have you got any feedback from educators around the country?
Oh, yeah. Hugely popular. I mean, among
does anybody ever say, you know, you're making science so fun that when the kiddies come into my classroom, I can't nearly compete with that. You're making it way too fun, and the kids are ticked off when I can't be that good.
Now,
I can't wear a bow tie and catch a pie in the
face. Are you speculating?
I am speculating because I've heard teachers say that about Sesame Street.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. Let me just say to those of you teaching who feel this way, if I should ever run across you, that when you're in the classroom, you have the actual kids. There's no poodles running in the room. There's no Nintendo to flip on. There's no parents to hang out with. There are no parents to hang out with. No friends come over. I mean, you're there. You're in the classroom. And you can get them to touch stuff. What we in science education, what we like to call hands-on. And you cannot, there's no way I can compete with that. So if a teacher feels that way, in my opinion, he or she should try a different approach.
Do you teach school too?
Touch stuff in the classroom.
Have you ever taught a class?
Oh yeah, many times.
You like doing it?
Oh, I love it.
Do you do it like as a guest shot, or do you have your own regular class?
Well, I used to do it as a, used to be a kind of a guest lecturer at my high school in the summertime, because in summer school you did not have to be an accredited teacher back in the days. My old teacher would let me teach algebra while he graded papers. Back in the days.
That was pretty cool. We have another science question for you.
Yes.
Why does the orange stuff on Cheetos come off on your hands so easily, but it's so hard to get off of your hands?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things like that. It's like oil and water not mixing. Your hands are oily. You know, that's how fingerprints work.
Rob's hands are more oily than mine.
Well, I'm sure about that. Because, I mean, you know, I've seen the photos. Anyway, the stuff is oily. You know, Cheetos are made in some sort of grease cookery, some sort of vegetable oil concept thing. And so the oil has a tendency to stick to the oil. What we like to call oleophilic, oil-loving.
See, that's in my book.
Oil-loving.
What do you think about this artificial fat that the Kings of Cincinnati have invented?
Well, I think it's fine. I mean, if you want to do it. But I just want everyone who is going to consider eating non-fat ice cream, non-fat yogurt, non-fat fat, that we are a unique society, a unique culture where people run around trying to find food that doesn't have calories. You know, if you're a hunter-gatherer scavenger on the ancient African savanna, if you live in Africa now, if you live in China now, you're not going to eat food hoping to not get calories out of it. You're eating food to stay alive. So it is an unusual idea, and I'm not saying that it's not a good thing for many people who are stuck with the same genes that drive us to get food all the time, but I'm saying that potentially may not be the greatest thing in the world.
Mm. Who were your influences growing up? Do you know who Dr. Julius Sumner Miller was?
No.
He had a little show, I guess.
Oh, yes I do. Yeah,
Dr. Julius Sumner Miller in physics is my business.
Yeah,
and he's always drinking vodka on the show,
love
too.
Love that guy. Yes, I'm sorry. I knew who he was.
He died a few years back. It was a
That'll
sad day in the world of science.
Every one of us.
And about what, Mr. Wizard?
Love Mr. Wizard. He sent me a nice letter. It was very nice.
What did it say?
That he's supportive of the show, you know.
Did you write him back?
I believe he'll be 80 this year.
Oh, my gosh. Sir, you're a big-time celebrity. You get to hang out with all the other big-time celebrities now.
I'll let you know.
Hey, I saw you dancing with Suzanne Somers on your show recently.
Oh, yes, Suzanne Somers. We had a nice little dance.
Is she really hot up close and personal?
Well, I'll tell you.
Does she smell good?
Your eye goes right to her. That's all I can tell you. And
right to her what?
To her.
Right, okay.
She really has a presence. She is a very attractive gal.
Did you see her when she was in Playboy back in the 70s?
No comment.
Okay.
How's her butt?
Gentlemen, if you've seen the Thighmaster commercial, I think you can infer really all you need to know there. I have an autographed Thighmaster.
Damn!
Oh,
imagine
man.
That!
So what other big-time celebrities have you had on your little show there that we might have missed?
We had Sinbad.
Wow. He's
charming
cool.
Guy. Very nice guy. We had, to me, a celebrity, a guy named Nate McMillan, who was a basketball player, who's an all-star, still plays for those Supersonics. And let's see, we had Elaine Miles, who's the gal who played the Native American on Northern Exposure. That show, you know, was very hot for a while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we had Suzanne Somers.
Suzanne Somers must have been the pinnacle.
You had Vanna White and Pat Sajak.
Vanna White. Pat Sajak.
Harlem Globetrotters.
That's right.
Those guys are amazing, aren't they?
The show.
Right on. We're big fans here in Cincinnati.
That's cool.
Cincinnati has a big cult following for Bill Nye the Science Guy. In case you just tuned in, we're talking to Bill Nye of Bill Nye and the Science Guy, which can be seen locally on Channel 48 at 5:30.
How many markets are you
weekday afternoon, right?
Yeah, that's right. How many markets are you seeing around the country?
188, and they say, you know, and I'm not an authority on this, they say it's more than Regis and Kathy Lee.
Cool. Where do you get the ideas for the shows?
Well, I'll tell you, we work very hard on that. And it's me and writers, a couple writers, and we have a curriculum consultant who's very good. with what in the industry we call age appropriateness. And then we have 12 advisors around the country, and we send them stuff, and we have meetings with them, and we work on stuff.
You should do a show about dropping somebody from 10 miles above the Earth and somebody from 10 miles above the Moon and see who would, like, have a worse or more horrible, bone-shattering, horrible death.
We could easily do that. And let me hearken to the Gravity Show, where we did a similar, although perhaps less spectacular experiment, dropping a bowling ball and an apple.
David Letterman does that.
Well, yeah.
But he doesn't explain it, does he?
Say again?
I said, David Letterman does that, but he doesn't explain how it happens, does he?
No, I was on there once.
Oh, you were? You were on Dave?
Yeah.
Up close, how big is that gap between
his
teeth?
Very tall. He's like 6'4". Yeah. Very tall guy. Terrific shape.
How was the food in the green room?
It's excellent.
Mm-hmm. What'd you have?
But bear in mind that I was at the old show on NBC, and Dave was not his most cheerful self. He was a little down on the old company.
So you haven't been to the new studio yet?
No, I say it was still at NBC.
Okay. Yeah. So you need to get back. You know. Who else was on the night you were on?
A woman named Nora Ephron, who produced, for example, Sleepless in Seattle, and I want to say that cowboy movie. She has a lot of romantic comedies.
Did you ask Dave if he would come on to Bill Nye the Science Guy sometime?
Say again?
Did you ask Dave if he would come on to Bill Nye the Science Guy sometime?
You know, I haven't brought it up with him. I'd love to go back on that show now that he's, you know. The thing that strikes me about that show that's so wacky is it's, like, funnier than it's ever been. And I always thought it was pretty funny to start with. Well, how they maintain that? That is wild.
Well, how are you maintaining your level of humor?
I'll tell you, everybody who works on the show is really committed to it. Everybody has a real passion for it.
How many shows have you done?
We've done 65, so there'll be 85 coming up here.
So how many different scientific topics can you actually cover before you start repeating yourself?
You know, I don't know. Well, we repeat ourselves a lot, in a sense. You know, we do a lot of, for example, we have an earthquake in the earthquake show, we have an earthquake in the volcano show, and we have an earthquake in the waves show. Then we have waves in the wave show, we have waves in the ocean show.
Hey, can I ask you about waves for a minute?
Sure.
I like waves.
Love waves. We're talking on waves right now.
Okay. Yeah, radio waves. We'll get into that in a minute. I want to ask you something. Why do tornadoes, hurricanes, and water going down a drain all rotate in one direction in the northern hemisphere and go the opposite direction in the southern hemisphere?
Okay, let me just say that tornadoes in general go the same direction, but there are very well-documented exceptions to that.
Really? Which way do they go?
They go counterclockwise in the northern hemisphere, and it's due to something called the what? Anyone? Anyone?
Coriolis effect.
Coriolis effect. Named after anyone?
Anton Coriolis.
Gaspar. Coriolis. Yeah. Yes, he's a...
How do you say that again?
Gaspar Coriolis. Yeah, he was a French mathematician who just kind of noticed that you get what people call coupling terms or cross-product terms when you multiply the acceleration of material like air moving from high pressure to low pressure times the acceleration of going around the Earth. It's really kind of the air falling down, the air being pulled down by gravity, accelerating one way, and being spun around the Earth the other way. So at the equator, the Coriolis effect is a minimum.
So what happens if you got a drain that's smack dab on the middle of the equator?
Well, on paper, there would be no effect. But bear in mind that in a sink or a toilet bowl or a place like that, you can completely overcome the Coriolis effect with a flick of the wrist. I mean, the Coriolis effect is not very strong in that setting, under those conditions. But when you get a big enough piece of air and you can't swish it with your hand like a hurricane, then the Coriolis effect is quite strong. It's huge. It's mega. You can see it from space.
How come when you drop a slice of toast, it always lands butter side down?
Well, there's a very good reason for that.
I knew there was.
Yeah.
And I knew that you would know what that reason was.
Just the nature of the table heights that we use as people and the size of bread that we choose as people, as animals as big as we are, ends up that a piece of bread as it falls off will tend to get its center of gravity, you know, as low as possible, like we all would. So as it slides off the table, it gets a twist, a torque, or a moment. That's all the same thing. So the center of gravity for just a moment is past the edge of the table. So it starts to rotate. The whole slice of bread starts to rotate. And it generally, just the height of our tables and countertops in our culture for animals as big as we are, makes it rotate just about half a turn. So it lands peanut butter down.
So are you saying...
You don't have to take my word for it, Rob and Chris.
Okay, but are you saying that if we were little midget people with little midget pieces of toast, or if we were big giant elephant-looking people with big giant pieces of toast, it might be different?
Oh, yeah, you can do that. You can. I've done it myself. You can put a piece of toast, and I recommend peanut butter, something dense and thick. Put it on top of a bookcase, you know, that's over your head, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a little push off, and it'll do a full rev and land peanut butter up.
I thought, all this time I thought it was because peanut butter was heavier.
It's why it is. That's exactly why it is. So the center of gravity, if you look at the slice of bread, slice of toast edge on, the way you might look at a quarter as you put it in the slot, you'll see that there's more mass on the top. The center of gravity, the center of mass, is farther from the table than it is. It's not in the center of the piece of toast. It's up towards the top. Leaves the table, starts to rotate, lands butter side down. It's wacky.
Bill Nye, the science guy, how much research do you have to do on these topics, or do you just already know all this stuff?
Oh, no, we do a lot of research. I mean, I learn something every day. Like today, I was looking at the mitral valve. We're going to do a show on the heart. You know, we've done a show on blood and circulation. Already done that show.
Yeah.
Done a show on respiration.
Well, you're going to have the little kids.
On bones and muscle.
You're going to have the kids on the set passing out. You start showing open heart surgery and stuff.
Well, it's the kids don't pass out. It's the grown-ups.
So you do anatomy, too, huh?
Yeah.
What's that thing called? It's right underneath your nose and right above your upper lip, and it's kind of like got two little ridges there.
If you say an angel touched you.
I'm not going to say that an angel... When you're a little baby, an angel touches you there and says, shh.
Boy, your gutter there?
Yeah, what's that little gutter thing above your lip called?
No, I'm not an expert on that, sorry.
It's called a filtrum.
Filtrum, okay. Septum filtrum. Yep. Yeah, roger that.
You know what the thing on the bottom is called below your lower lip?
Your Kirk Douglas.
Yeah, exactly. How'd you know that? You're smart.
Well, thank you, I think.
How much longer do you plan on doing the show?
Well, at least another season. We have a contract for 5 years, but everyone has the option to not renew.
What about a movie?
You can go Hollywood.
You want to do a movie?
The Bill Nye Science Guy? A movie, and the title would probably be Science Rules. And it would be a story where there's a guy who does science demonstrations at schools, similar to a guy I know. And... He runs across some people who are illegally dumping toxic waste, and some things, one thing leads to another.
And you turn into a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of thing?
No. No.
What, a big slimy green monster?
No. No, the guy, he's just a guy. We don't have slimy green, we don't need slimy green monster.
So we're just going to have to wait and pay $8.50 and go see it when it comes out.
Would you say $8.50?
Yeah, or however much a movie ticket costs by then.
By then, yeah. Wonder if they'll take cash.
Is this in the works? Are you working on this?
No, I mean, I've pitched it to people, and I've registered it with the Writers Guild, but it's not exactly done deal. But yeah, I've been working on that.
Can me and Rob be in it?
Oh, well, I was planning really to do about 15 minutes with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
We could be the bad guys that come up with the toxic waste and stuff. We'd be really good at that.
Oh, you guys are so nice. I just don't know if you could pull it off.
Screw you rotten kids. I don't care if your drinking water is contaminated. I'm putting my sulfur here.
Very nice.
Something like that?
Very convincing. Very compelling.
Hey, have you ever really gotten hurt on a show? Because you always show the outtakes there at the end. And on the spinning thing, when you really clocked yourself with a yo-yo.
I've gotten bruised a lot. Doing the show.
Have you ever had a blow up in your face or anything?
Say again?
Anything ever blown up in your face?
Yeah. We had some sodium, metal sodium, in water, which is a famous, fabulous, very dangerous science gag. And it popped pretty good, and we got sodium hydroxide on the camera. You can still see it. It's the same camera. You can see a little flecks. It's like lye, like, you know, a very strong base. Yeah, that was about the only thing that's really gone wrong. But we were all far enough away from it, nothing really happened, because it is so dangerous. But it was, you know, it gave everybody a start.
Do you believe in extraterrestrial life?
Well, now, when you say extraterrestrial life, let me just go on to ask you, do you mean have we been visited by aliens in spacecraft?
No, we're just talking about people on other planets, or maybe even bugs on other planets.
Well, let me just say that the latest data, or the newest data from Hubble, 50 billion galaxies, 50 billion galaxies, not 50 billion stars, 50 billion galaxies, each galaxy containing hundreds of billions of stars. So this billions and billions thing isn't quite right.
Hey, watch out, Carl Sagan.
It's billions and billions and billions. Well, Carl Sagan claims that he never said that. He claims that Johnny Carson invented that.
So now you're going to hop that billions and billions bandwagon and ride it all the way to the bank.
Well, I'm saying it's really sextillions and sextillions, or octillions and octillions. It's
Carl Sagan got a lot of things wrong.
Number. So to have all those planets, and just the other day, Hubble telescope discovered a planet orbiting a nearby star, apparently has water on it. I mean, wacky. How can there be? It's right down the street. 50 billion galaxies, each with hundreds of billions of stars.
You're saying that planet is covered with water?
Say again?
You're saying that planet is covered with water?
Not covered. It has water on it, apparently.
Now, I heard something about a week ago that some scientist guy discovered that maybe there's some bacteria on Mars that burrowed into the ground and they're underground.
Well, this is an old theory. You know, in 1976, the Viking lander landed on, very appropriate name, Viking, landed on Mars, dug up some soil looking for this very thing. But the experiment was quite primitive, and the microscopy, the ability to photograph microscopically, was limited. I mean, the doggone thing's on another planet 20 years ago. It's not, but anyway, at first everybody was going, hey man, maybe there's something alive. Then they decided it was really a chemical reaction, just some bubbling over of goop.
Now, why do you think the Viking lander was so appropriately named?
Because the Vikings left Northern Europe and went to the New World, which under very harsh conditions.
And discovered bacteria.
And discovered all kinds of things.
Yeah.
All sorts of diseases, I might add.
Now, do you think that Mars Observer thing that went up about a year or two back, do you think it really got blown up by an asteroid or got lost, or do you think that it's just a big NASA cover-up?
No, I think it's radio messed up.
So you think it's still floating around
there? No, that's radio. That's right. It's a rocket valve. It's fuel valve. I'm sorry, I'm confused. Yeah, it's fuel valve. Yeah, it's almost certainly. Do you guys read space news?
Sometimes.
I do. Anyway, that's almost certainly what happened. The failure was easily, or not easily, was reproducible on Earth, and everybody went, well, that's too bad. We sort of blew it, didn't we? Literally. Oh, man. It's surprising that a lot more stuff doesn't go wrong. You know, the U.S., everyone got pretty lulled into NASA always being successful until, 1986. Everybody went, whoa, this is quite a dangerous deal.
Well, thanks a lot, Bill Nye, the science guy. And
so, you know, kids, I've applied to be an astronaut.
You have?
Yeah, we'll let you know.
Did you pass?
Don't know. Don't know.
Well, don't you have to be like an extremely great physical shape? Not that you're not, but don't you have to be like a superhuman Stallone kind of guy in order to pass? And short,
too? I don't think so. I'll let you know.
And you have to be short in order to get into Sputnik.
Sputnik would be hard to get into now, yeah.
Well, I'm talking about that thing that the Russians got up there. The Russians are shorter than us, so you got to be really short to get in it.
Yeah, Mir.
The Mir.
Well, when you say small, not really. I mean, Letterman's right on the border. If he's 6'4 or 6'6, he's right on the border. But
I heard that those Russian guys are really
right
tiny.
On the border, but most people are fine.
All right.
Hey, gentlemen, this has really been fun.
Well, we're going to do it again soon.
And let me just say, happy Tuesday. Oh, no, you got Wednesday going there.
It is Wednesday. It's 12:30 Wednesday morning.
So, you know, if you could see the Earth from space, you'd see a line of darkness going from Cincinnati to Seattle.
That's
right?
Weird. That's
now
spooky.
It's out in the middle of the ocean, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what we call that line of darkness? Anyone?
The line of gloom.
We call it dusk.
We call it the Terminator.
Ooh.
Kind of like Schwarzenegger.
Okay, and do you know what we call that area where the line isn't crisp? It's a little bit gray.
That would be the gray area.
Sunset. We call it sunset.
Zone.
The what?
It's a little bit gray. You can see it from space. You know what we call that?
We call that...
The Twilight Zone.
The Twilight Zone. Exactly.
So that's where these names came from.
For real?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, so anyway...
Someday we got to name something Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Oh, we don't want to do that till we're dead.
We can name an asteroid or a star, one of those billions of stars, Bill
Nye. That would be wacky.
That would
be wacky. Gentlemen, you guys are fans of the show. This is very cool. Well, look, it's been great talking to you.
Does that mean you can send us videotapes of outtakes?
We don't keep that many around.
More pratfalls.
Well, we'll do lots more pratfalls. Okay. We love pratfalls. We love hitting the guy in the head with stuff.
All right.
Love that. So, anyway, been great talking to you.
And you.
Deep closure?
I feel good.
Am I feeling it?
I feel good.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you soon.
Continued success.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right.
I gotta fly, Bill. Right. I'm a science guy.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. The phone number is 749-1444. Give us a call. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together we are
the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
The phone number here is 749-1444. 749-1444. I'll say that phone number again in a minute. First up, here's your weather forecast. You're going to have a little bit of snow tonight with an accumulation of about an inch or less. Low of 5 degrees. Tomorrow, partly sunny and cold with a high of 20. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy and cold with a low of 5 degrees. Thursday, mostly cloudy with a high of 25. Currently in the tri-state, it's 18.
You said tomorrow, then you said Thursday. Tomorrow is Thursday. Which is it?
Damn, I forgot it was the middle of the night.
You forgot it was Wednesday morning.
It still feels like Tuesday to me, man. This radio business, man, I'm not made for it. Who we got up next?
All right, who's this?
Hey, guys. This is Chris.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
Good.
Where's Chris calling from?
I'm coming from Northern Ohio. But I want to remind all your listeners that WAIF is a community-based and supported radio station, and by all means, they should send their financial support to the station.
Damn straight. I'm with you on that.
At any and all times. So what's going on?
How much are you sending us, Chris?
I sent $25 once.
Good. That helps.
I never received a mug or a bumper sticker or Q-tip or anything
we'll,
like that.
We'll get you one. We'll get you one of those nail files that says WAIF on it. What is that called? Memory board?
Yeah, emery board.
Yeah, we'll get you an emery board that says WAIF on it.
And I tuned in just a little late, so I missed the science guy, unfortunately.
That was Bill Nye the Science Guy from Seattle, Washington. Have you ever seen his television show called Bill Nye the Science Guy?
I'm glued to it. Every Thursday night up here, 11 o'clock. It's on.
That's prime time entertainment, Northern Ohio.
Absolutely, and the signal's coming in real clear tonight, too.
Now, you called in, you said you had a big announcement to make.
I'm getting married.
Congratulations!
Yeah, I'm getting married in August.
What are you serving at the reception?
Shrimp cocktail, cheap wine, and broads.
Yes!
No, and I've got to ask you, you know, do you have any advice for me as I enter this holy...
You're not even asking Chris, are you?
You don't have to get married. Well, I mean, is this one of those prearranged things where, like, you got to marry her?
No, I got
to
tell you guys, you know, Chris and Rob of the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, they're legends in the tri-state area with women.
We are.
I'm just
your radio
some
pals.
Advice. I need some advice. You know, is it going to work? How do I know if it's going to work? One girl for the rest of your life.
Here's what I always heard.
Lifetime commitment.
The rest of your life, though.
I always heard that if when you get into the car after you unlock her door, if she doesn't lean across and unlock yours, she's worthless.
Really? She's worthless? Oh, mine does that.
Okay.
But you know how you really like to eat at Burger King, you eat a Whopper every day, and it really tastes good, but after a while you think to yourself, God, there's got to be something different on the menu. So you move up to the chicken tenders or something. I'm just worried that's going to happen.
Yeah, but the thing is, what you got to do with the one woman is, sure, it's the same old Whopper every day. So one day you got to get a little mater on there.
Oh, well, yeah.
The next day you take the mater off.
We have Western theme night and Jailhouse Rock and things like that. But still, it's a great...
It's still a Whopper when you come down to it, huh?
I'm very concerned about it.
Well, I mean, the choice of condiments is very important.
A little mayonnaise one night and a little honey the next.
Well, horseradish makes my eyes water. I figured that out the other night.
So don't use that.
That's a whole nother story.
Unless watery eyes turn you on or something.
Yeah, so...
And if she's, like, really obsequious now, if she's picking up after you, if she's doing your laundry now, she's going to hate your guts in 5 years.
Don't let her get fat either.
One other issue of concern to me tonight has nothing to do with matrimony or anything like that. All right, you guys are graduates of a small normal school up in Northern Ohio, right?
I am.
Chris never
he was there like 9 years.
He still has that library fine hanging over his head. But anyway, there's a proposal. The governor's made a proposal in the Board of Regents to centralize all PhD programs at Ohio State rather than out at state universities. You guys heard anything about that?
So kids that go to Miami or Ohio U or Toledo or Cleveland State or Bowling Green State would have to go to Columbus twice a week to take pool?
Right. Any PhD programs.
Oh, PhD. I thought you meant
PhD.
Physical education.
No, any kind of doctoral programs. They're all going to be centralized at Ohio State.
Hmm.
So they can save about $1 million a year.
Is $1 million worth it?
Well, that's the question up here, and frankly, it's not worth it because, you know, the liberal arts programs are going to be attacked first.
What are some of the best doctoral programs outside of Columbus right now?
Well, Toledo's got a couple of good science programs, as well as a business administration program that gets high marks.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
For a state university. Well, I know this is a pretty heavy conversation for, 12:30 at night, but I just wanted to mention it to me.
Well, you know, when the U.S. government was looking for someone to poison the population, they came to the University of Cincinnati, so there must have been a reason for that.
Well, the University of Cincinnati is actually one of the universities that would benefit from the PhD programs being centralized at Ohio State because they're going to take some of the research PhDs and place them at UC. I don't know why, but evidently they've got good programs there.
Well, then, obviously, they're not all centralized in Columbus anymore, because now you got some in Cincinnati.
Well, it'd be more of an umbrella out of Ohio State, kind of an extension.
It could be that, Columbus is going to be very crucial to the upcoming elections.
Perhaps.
Because, Cleveland's going to go Democrat, Cincinnati's going to go Republican. Who knows where Columbus is going to go?
You know, you got a great a judge running for Supreme Court, state of Ohio, from Cincinnati, from Hamilton County.
Kenneth Lawson.
No, he's a she, actually.
Oh.
And I don't know her name, but she's really good. I met her the other week. And I know your audience is well-informed, well-educated, topical audience, and this conversation they'll find stimulating, frankly. And I'm glad you've given me the opportunity to say hello.
I don't know why they're trying to cut off all the little schools. Who's going to take care of the Ohio Northern Polar Bears?
Well, what is it? Is education for education's sake, or is it education for making money's sake, you know?
It's a job program.
We have to ask that question. And if that's the case, then they should not offer any PhDs in English literature. Because who makes money in that besides a few professors?
Nobody.
You know, what's education? Is education, should all PhDs or should all graduate programs be in the business administration or some kind of computer science? You know, it's crap. It's decisions made by people in Columbus who've become so parochial that they can't see the forest for the trees. Boy, it's gotten serious all of a sudden.
You tell him, Chris.
That's all right. You want to talk about your wedding some more?
Yeah, I'm getting married in August, by the way.
In August. Is Rob and I going to be invited?
But one of the things that concerned me... Beyond the fact that you two would crash my wedding, that
if we're not invited, we're showing up anyway. We're eating all the food and drinking all the beer.
Absolutely. Well, there won't be beer.
Cheap wine. Heinemann's wine?
Yeah, from the islands.
Heinemann's is an Ohio winery, isn't it?
It is.
Tell us all about it, Chris.
It's located in the Lake Erie Islands, in the middle of Lake Erie. It's Ohio grapes, Catawba grapes. They're you know. It's amazing stuff, I know.
And are the grapes crushed by the feet of northern Ohio babes?
Migrants from Kentucky. They have them shipped in old Greyhound buses, and they wear socks, actually, because they want to be hygienically sound.
So you're going to be serving Ohio wine at your wedding, and this girl that you're going to marry, what's her name, Whopper?
Whopper.
Whopper.
Whopper with mayo.
Is she with you tonight, or is
no,
she
no,
somewhere?
She's at home. I'm of the Catholic persuasion, and so never the twain shall meet.
Would you like Rob and I to call her tonight and tell her that you love her? We'd be happy to do that. All we gotta do is put you on hold. You
maybe
can give our engineer Jim your phone number, and we'll give her a jiggle. Rob and I will tell her personally that you love her, and you can't wait for the wedding night.
Maybe next week. Who's the special guest next
week? Where's the reception going to be? Screw the wedding. I'm not going to be there if you guys are going to do that Catholic calisthenic thing.
Yeah, it's up and down, up and down.
No, up and down.
It's going to be a great reception. It's going to be at a nice place. It'll be about 400 of our closest friends. Minimum gift is $50, so start saving, boys. I know how tight you guys are.
Now, are you going to do the chicken dance at the reception?
And as well as the, what's the other?
Rocky
the top. Dollar dance.
The what dance?
The dollar dance.
I don't know the dollar. Oh, yeah, where you pay a buck to dance with you.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty lame, actually. And we're going to have as much Michael Bolton as possible. So it'll be a well-rounded evening.
Now, do you plan on doing the tongue thing when the priest says you can kiss the bride?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there'll be some serious tongue-itch.
You want to cop a feel?
Perhaps, if her mother's not watching.
I always like it when they cop a feel in the pulpit.
Right up
we
there.
We Protestants do that cop and a feel stuff all the time.
Yeah, well, they're all going to hell. But the Catholics, you're up there right next to the holy sacraments are performed right there. You know?
The last time I went to one of my friend's weddings, he was like a Baptist or something.
Yeah.
He just shoved his head right between her boobies.
Oh, yeah.
He said, you can kiss the bride. Now he just went.
Didn't say where he could kiss the bride. All right, boys. I gotta go to bed.
Congratulations!
This is taking a lot out of
Congratulations, Chris.
If I'd have known you were getting married, I'd have brought some wedding music tonight.
Next week, don't forget, we'll set something up.
All right.
We could have a wedding on the air.
We'll do it.
That'd be something new.
Cool.
Could Rob and I perform the nuptials?
Yeah, we'll call. Well, as radio hosts, you are by law in the state of Ohio licensed to perform marriage ceremonies.
Do you, Chris from Northern Ohio, take this young lady to be your forever bride, forever and ever till death do you part?
Well, you warmed up nicely.
I do, pal.
I do. You got the lines down. We'll have to set this up. I'll call the Inquirer.
Okay. All right.
All right. This wasn't on the air or anything, was it?
No, this is all practice.
I'm glad this is taped.
Cool.
Good luck.
Later.
Bye.
749-1444 is the phone number. That's 749-1444, and this is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
I was ready to go to song, dude.
You want
to
play some music?
Yeah, I was ready to go to song.
Okay, we'll play some music.
Play some more science music. Oh, he brings Rat round and round. He somehow thinks that's a science song. I would propose that Rat round and round is not a science song.
is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And the phone number here is 749-1444. I'll give that number again in a minute. I'm going to try this weather thing again. Today, it'll be partly sunny and cold with a high of 20 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy and cold with a low of 5. Thursday, mostly cloudy with a high of 25. And currently, it's 18 right here in the tri-state. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I want to talk for a minute about this Seattle connection we have tonight, because we just talked to Bill Nye in Seattle, Washington. Well, there's also a Seattle Kathmandu connection. Are you aware of that, Rob?
I've heard something about it, yes. Some sort of connection between Seattle and the Kathmandu, yes.
Hello, we have Jared on the phone. Jared, where are you calling us from tonight?
Seattle, Washington.
We have another Seattleian. Is that what you people call yourselves from Seattle, Seattleians?
I think it's Seattleite.
Bill Nye said Seattleite. If you'd have been paying attention to our conversation with Bill Nye, the science guy, you'd have caught that.
Okay, well, there's a four-year-old kid from Seattle named Sonam Wangdu.
There's a what? Pardon me?
The kid's name is Sonam Wangdu. He's 4 years old, and he's supposedly the reincarnated soul of a very revered Buddhist monk by the name of Desheng Rinpoche IV.
I don't know about that Sonam part, but I like the Wangdu.
You like the Wangdu?
I like the Wangdu part.
Sonam Wangdu. Now, Jared from Seattle, have you ever met Sonam Wangdu, the four-year-old reincarnated spirit of the Tibetan Buddhist monk Desheng Rinpoche IV?
I did have the pleasure of meeting him last week.
Could you describe the
encounter?
The encounter with us? Thanks, Rob.
You're welcome.
Well, I had went to this monastery, and after
now, first of all, what'd you go to the monastery for? Are you like a monk yourself or something?
No, I've been going there, attending meditation there at this monastery.
Has it been doing you any good?
Yeah.
Can you float?
Huh?
Can you float yet?
Can float?
Yeah, can you float
yet?
No, but I hear that on my deathbed I will achieve total consciousness.
All right, cool.
So anyhow, I went there, and on this particular day, actually, I was filming for a class, and I was trying to film.
So you were making monk movies.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so I went in there, and but they wouldn't give me the permission to film.
Ah.
And I couldn't figure out why, and all of a sudden, people started walking in, like with huge film cameras, and it was like a whole film crew with lights and stuff. And I was thinking to myself, you know, what's going on here? Well, how come these people get to go in with it? And so anyhow, out walks this little 4-year-old kid, and
was he adorable?
He was really cute.
Yeah.
He was great.
Whoa.
And so basically, they took a lot of pictures of him, and everybody offered him these little silk scarves, and he took them in his hands and then put them around everybody's neck.
What'd you offer him?
What's that?
What did you offer him?
I offered him one of the silk scarves.
Oh, maybe you gave him a 7-inch or something.
Should have given him a cigarette.
I said, hey, here's some Monocat 7-inches. That's all I have to offer you. I have a lot left over.
So did he look at you or bless you or sprinkle some holy water on you or anything?
Yeah, when I walked up, you know, he was sitting down, and I, like, kneeled or, you know, bent down. And he looked at me right in my eyes. And it was, I mean, I have to admit, there was something strange about it, you know?
Now, do you think this kid gets beat up a lot at kindergarten?
You know, I don't know. I mean, not anymore. He's going to Nepal.
Yeah, they shipped this kid off to Nepal. He's, like, in charge of the monastery there now.
He's psyched. He's out of school. He's on vacation, you know?
It's all, like, he catches, he's got to be celibate for the rest of his life.
No more duck, duck, goose for him.
Yeah. So, yeah, so it was pretty neat. So then afterwards, I was sitting in the in the kitchen at the monastery, waiting to interview one of the monks, and in ran this little kid, and he was trying to look for some apple juice, and it was you know, it was funny.
It'd be funnier if he'd wanted a fruit roll-up, or like some Spider-Man SpaghettiOs or something.
Do you think he could take a little bit of apple juice and multiply it, and make it into gallons and gallons and gallons of apple juice? Or maybe take a fruit roll-up that's maybe 12 inches long and make it like a mile long?
He probably could, huh?
Yeah, well, he's in Nepal now, at Kathmandu. What do you think he's doing there?
In Nepal, I think he's learning.
Learning what?
Learning Tibetan language, learning about Buddhism. And then he's supposed to come back after he's schooled there and teach at this monastery.
Where are all his where are his parents at during all this?
His mom, I think she's going with him. His dad was killed a few years ago in a car accident.
What kind of people are his is his mom? Is she like queen of the trailer park, or is she a college professor, or what's going on here?
I'm not sure. She's an American, but
his
father,
dad was a Tibetan monk, wasn't he?
Yeah, his father was Tibetan.
And that's how he came to be the person whose soul is reincarnated from this other famous monk who goes way back, who was the reincarnation of another famous monk before him.
Yeah.
And
I
it
guess.
Goes tied back to the prehistoric times or something.
Yeah, all that reincarnation stuff kind of befuddles me.
And here's the hard question, Jared from Seattle.
Okay.
Do you believe in reincarnation?
I don't know. I don't. Not at this time, no.
I mean, do you think that right after Kurt Cobain died in Seattle, maybe the spirit of Kurt Cobain appeared in another little Seattle kid somewhere? He'll be in kindergarten in a year or two.
I don't know. I'd have to learn a little bit more about reincarnation before I could actually...
Next time you go down to the monastery to interview some monks, you better ask him about it.
I will. But I watched Ricky Lake with one of the with the monk afterwards.
Really?
One of the monks, yeah. And that was pretty interesting. Because he had a lot of mean things to say about Americans.
Did anybody wolf and... Did she get him fired up?
He was already fired up. He was ready to go off. He said that when he goes to the mall and wears his robe, that people come up to him and ask him if he's a boy or a girl.
Oh, wow.
And then he said, Americans, they're always... All Americans do are try to look for fucks. And I thought he was saying foxes.
Yeah.
But he was saying fuck. And then
that's great. Just so you know, you're not supposed to say that on the radio, but we'll let it slide this time.
But so then I said machikne, which is another bad word in Nepali.
Is it?
It's mother, you know?
Okay. Machikne.
I told him that because he's from Nepal and I had learned that word.
I'll remember machikne. I'll say it to our next caller.
Machikne.
Okay, well.
Well, if this guy hated America so bad, why was he doing on such a piece of crap as Ricky Lake? Why was he wallowing?
He was just laughing at it.
Well, if he goes to the mall and he goes on Ricky Lake, it seems to me like he hunts out the worst parts of American culture and wallows in it and then condemns it.
Exactly. And, yeah, it's too bad, you know? Because, you know, we don't want him to leave our country with thinking badly about it.
Well, you're our second call tonight from Seattle, Washington. Our first was from Bill Nye the Science Guy from the television show Bill Nye the Science Guy. You're the second. Is there anything you want to tell us about Seattle before we turn you loose?
The best thing about Seattle is you can park facing whatever way you want on either side of the street.
That's pretty cool.
It's really nice.
Okay, well, thanks for your call.
All right.
We'll talk to you again soon from Seattle.
All right, rock on.
Enjoy the rain.
Bye.
Later.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. The phone line's open at 749-1444.
Saturdays from 6 to 8 p.m., stop channel surfing and dive into the current of sound that is the rockin' and surfin' show.
Oh, you want to hear something?
Catch air with Rockin' Robert in the Time Warp. Longtime surfers here at WAIF, Cincinnati, what radio is meant to be. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Why? Why are you killing yourself to get surf music on? Who cares?
Because you're talking about the Rockin' and Surfin'
Show. Well, I was done talking about the Rockin' and Surfin' Show. Somebody beating on the door. It's frightening me. I'm scared. I'm worried.
Johnny and the Hurricanes, check this out.
All right, let's talk to Marie. Screw Johnny and the Hurricanes. Hi, Marie.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, we're doing pretty good.
What's on your mind tonight, Marie?
I just want to thank you for sending me the copy of Screed.
That's right. You tuned in last week. Last week we were talking about the local magazine Screed, and you got a copy. Did you enjoy it?
I'm sorry?
Did you enjoy it?
Yes, I did.
Good. What was your favorite part about it?
My favorite part? The cartoon was cute.
There's not enough pictures of Chris and Rob in it for my taste.
I can barely hear you.
Turn your radio up.
There weren't enough pictures of Chris and Rob in it for my taste.
Yeah, there wasn't much. I didn't see anything in there for Chris and Rob. I was looking.
I know. It's kind of, you know, just if you have pictures of Chris and Rob in your magazine, it automatically makes it a not just a piece of publication, but a legitimate work of art.
I got an idea, Rob. Let's start our own magazine. What'll we call it?
I don't know. We're not going to have, like, cute name the magazine for the next hour.
No, we'll just call the magazine Chris and Rob, just like us.
Cool. So what are you doing, Marie?
Oh, just sitting around, listening to your show.
Did you like Bill Nye the Science Guy?
Oh, I loved Bill Nye the Science Guy. Bill